There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
All right, my talkers, get your gloves on, get your boots on. We might get dirty in hour two of Lori and Julia on this beautiful Tuesday, June 22nd, 2021.
Okay. I went to that movie last night.
I went to Quiet Place 2.
Oh, fantastic.
Did you see it?
I did. Okay. I did.
I went opening night because I couldn't wait.
I was so excited.
I couldn't wait. I was so happy to go to a movie.
Well, here were a couple
screamed
of my...
out loud six yeah. times.
Fantastic.
It was great, except for I forgot a couple key plot things that happened in Quiet Place 1 and went with someone who never saw Quiet Place 1, who kept saying, what's going on here? Day 1, day 45, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so we just kept trying to figure out the identity of this one child that I forgot passed away in the first movie. So there was...
And right away, at the beginning of the movie, the most epic, biggest scene.
But it was so long ago.
It was such a shock, though.
The kid just...
It was such a shock. We did not see that coming.
I think you should see Quiet Place 1 before Quiet Place 2.
If you saw it once, you can't really forget it. So it makes me... I did.
And I just sat there and I'm like, I don't know. It still was enjoyable.
Yeah,
but it was just like, I don't know how you could forget that.
It's Lori, like you forget the zombies. It's like forgetting the key thing in Parasite or This Is Us.
Yeah, pretty much a very key thing.
Yeah, and pretty big deal.
So the whole time I felt so obvious. I know. And he's just saying, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know. I can't help.
I went with someone who hadn't seen the first one either.
And they managed to follow it?
They were entertained, yes. Yeah. They had some questions. They went and watched the first one immediately when we got home.
That's exactly what,
But yeah, they felt it was entertaining enough where you didn't really need to see it.
Well, I think it's better if you have seen it.
I would agree.
I think it's better. It makes more sense. Right. And then also, you know, epic endings to lead to part three.
Oh, I can't wait for the third. Oh.
Which John Krasinski is not going to direct.
What?
Why?
That is what I've read.
Oh.
That he's not planning on directing. Now, maybe he's writing it.
Okay.
As long as he's writing it. He wrote the first two.
I'm telling you that girl, the daughter, she was amazing.
And she's really deaf.
I know she is. Yeah. She's amazing.
The kids and everything. Emily Blunt is everything.
She's everything. And then the guy from, you know...
Cillin, yes. Peaky Blinders.
Yes.
He's been in lots of things.
Cillian Murphy. I know. Yes.
Cillian Murphy. Oh. And he's been acting for a long time and been in many things. And he's a strange looking guy, but oddly in this one, he's not so strange looking.
It was the beard.
Maybe, because he's in a lot of period pieces.
Yes, he is.
And he's got kind of a, maybe he'd been typecast or something, mm-hmm. but he was like quite good as this guy that he plays. Yeah.
Did they do the intro with John Krasinski thanking you for coming back to the theater?
Yes.
I love that too.
Yeah.
I thought that was perfect. That was like, you know, it was such a nice way to start the movie to have him thanking you for being there.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. It just made me want to go into the whole series.
And you know, the other thing, okay, so we saw a preview for Maverick. You know, Top Gun 2?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited to see that movie. I'm very excited. And, you know...
And they pushed that back. That was supposed to be out in July.
Yeah, right. I'm very excited. And it gave me good thoughts about Tom Cruise. Because it brought back the memories of The One. And he's an actor. He can act. You know, he looked...
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
I know, but I was kind of thinking, I remember why I liked him so much.
Exactly. I know. But you still, I mean, here's the thing. We can never put the Scientology genie that he's crazy back in the bottle, that he's abandoned his daughter.
But I'm willing to be entertained.
And, yeah, we can be...
I'm willing to go there.
Entertained by him, but yeah. How many previews did you see? Because we saw like six.
I think there were probably four.
Yeah.
Four. I'm a little late.
Oh, made me miss it. And
It was fun.
I was there, you guys, and there were. This was like the first weekend theaters
that
opened up.
Yeah, right.
It was Friday night
and Memorial weekend,
right?
When
movies
opened up.
It was a full theater, and I had these like seven or eight kids, high school kids, behind me.
Oh,
and I was so close to like turning around and being like, stop talking, you know,
but I was like,
it felt good to kind of be like, stop talking. Like I wanted to do it, but I didn't do it.
Yeah,
but I was like,
yeah,
hey, this is what we missed. This is everything that we didn't have was the annoying person on their cell phone or the group talking behind you. It was annoying, but I was like, hey, I kind of welcomed it a little bit. Yeah.
You know, what was annoying for me is I couldn't have popcorn and milk duds.
Because you were
coming off my episode with the contaminant that I picked up because I did not wash my hands with hand sanitizer between playing slot machines.
And it literally was a contaminant.
It was that.
Well, you're pumping right now. You're doing great now, right?
Yeah, no, but I mean, I had told Julia, like the month, I'm going to go to the Quiet Place too. I'm going to have buttered popcorn with milk duds.
Oh.
I didn't have that at home ever once. I don't know why.
It's not the same. Well, it's not the same.
It's not the same je ne sais quoi.
Mm-hmm.
Let's face it. You know.
Another thing about that movie that I'm interested to see is that, you know, it's three parts, right?
Yeah.
And they filmed that first one so long ago and the second one so long. It was supposed to come out in March of last year.
Yeah, right. That's right.
I'm interested to see, and this takes place, if you've watched both movies, over about a week of time. You know, the main part of the story is about a week or two, the way they leave the first one into the second one. Now, how are they going to do this third one where they haven't filmed it? And it's been almost 4 years. And you know how kids in 4 years can change and
100%.
Grow. And
I know it.
We'll see how they play that into it.
Right. And they could fast forward in time.
It's like that one preview we watch about people going to that vacation land where everyone ages 7 years overnight. Mm-hmm. You know, that creepy movie and dead bodies float up. It's a new movie coming out. Where they just age. Remember the kids were gone and they turn around a second later and they're 15 years older or something?
Yeah.
That looks so scary.
Yeah.
I don't know the name of it, but there looks to be some good movies coming out.
I still would like to see Cruella.
I know.
For the fashion and the music. And I saw an Entertainment Tonight.
People last go back night's to the movie episode, theaters, it was fun.
Yeah, but last night's episode, they had the bloopers and stuff, and I kind of want to see it just to see Emma Thompson and, what's her name?
Emma Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Just be...
Fabulous. Which they are.
Mm-hmm. Because really, it is about a fashion designer who wants to have a coat made out of 101 Dalmatians. I mean,
What's wrong with that?
I mean, you
Where
know...
Where could that go wrong?
When you think of some of the Disney plot lines, you know...
True.
When you really think about what they're about, you're like, wow, kind of mean.
Based on an actress that was wild and crazy.
Right. Oh. Hey, do you know... Well, we'll do this for Hollywood Speak. I want to know. I know Julia won't know what it is, but I'm curious if you will know what it means when you emoji a response as a series of blue caps.
What does that even mean?
If either of you know what that is.
Got me intrigued.
No, you got to tell us now.
Well, it's a good tease.
Yeah.
Good tease.
I could tell you randomly when we come back, if you allow me to explain.
You can.
The blue cap emoji means.
Because I want to know what it means.
Where do you find the
blue cap? We'll be right back. This is Lori and Julia.
You know, I saw this story the other day. Did you ever notice that? You know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if...
And now... Julia's random thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is.
All right, everybody. What do blue caps mean? First of all,
the blue cap emoji is in the news because Tristan Thompson used the blue cap emoji, six blue caps, in response to the Daily Mail story about him, you know, slipping into a bedroom with three specific women at a Bel Air party last week. And then Chris Brown used the blue emoji cap in response to that he assaulted a woman by, grabbing her wig.
So the blue cap, it's like, looks like a blue baseball cap.
Yes.
So what does it mean after all that?
Well, what it means is it's the cap emoji stands for lie, or more specifically, capping, which is slang for lying. And Twitter and TikTok... They'll go, no, and they do the blue emoji. It's slang for no lie.
Or that you did lie.
Yeah, that you did lie, yeah.
Okay, so it means I lied.
No. It's slang for lying. So, like, when someone does blue cap, it means your response is, this is a lie.
Got it.
This is a lie.
Nobody telling the truth here. All right.
That's right.
Got it. All right. So
it's being used double today by Tristan Thompson and Chris Brown to accusations that nobody would have ever seen coming. One on cheating and one on assaulting. Like those things don't go along with. I mean, Tristan Thompson.
I
would never trust that guy forever.
Ever. All right. So, in other news outside of the blue cap emoji, in the traffic world emoji, let's see, the 35W94 Project from Hell that has white knuckled Minneapolis for the past 4 years coming to an end around September 9th.
Really?
According to Minnesota Department of Transportation.
The cockamamie twist up outside of, right as you go into downtown, the funnel. How is it getting unknotted?
Well, I don't know. Anything. The project replaced 11 aging bridges and will improve access to Lake Street, including a much desired exit for southbound traffic on 35W. Several new design features will reduce congestion. I don't see it because I drive it and I'm like, I only see a little extra lane over there. I'm like, how is that going to ease this?
How is this going to ease anything?
I have no idea.
Going into the tunnel, right?
Going into the Lowry Tunnel. And then coming on 394 into St. Paul from that area. I don't know, but it says
it's going to be magic.
It's going to be magic. And the due date is September 9th. Right. So we can look forward to that happening.
You got to love how they encourage people by paying them more to get it done faster. That is the best thing about road construction. It's like the sooner you get it done, the more you're going to get paid.
But
so
I always wondered why they weren't working, maybe because of overtime, but like during the pandemic when there wasn't any traffic, like they didn't work harder, faster.
I agree with you. It felt like there should have been more road work going on.
I agree, but here's the problem in Minnesota when we freeze. I don't know if you can lay cement.
Oh.
I mean, we are in a northern state. So I think there's a little issue with the temperature. Just saying, I have no idea, though. What
we
do I know?
Our blue,
I'm very blonde.
Blue caps to you, Engineer Julia.
I don't know. I don't know if it does anything. Okay, so if you're a coffee drinker, good news. You are at a hot... Boy, you can... they're saying that drinking coffee may cut the risk of chronic liver disease.
That's good news for alcohol.
That's what I was going to say. So when you're hungover, drink a lot of coffee, but it can reduce your risk of chronic liver disease by 21%.
More good coffee news.
Yep, and the risk of death by 50%, and that's 4 cups a day. So it doesn't matter if it's caffeinated or decaffeinated, but interesting study.
Coffee is always needs good news, Julia. That is what I'm convinced about coffee studies and all the studies that come out about it.
Yeah.
That the caffeine industry is behind a lot of studies because, man, do we find out a lot of good things on it? Or maybe it really is studied a lot.
It's a stimulant. I don't know. I love coffee.
And caffeine can be in many drinks.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And now it's coming. Yeah, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you guys like thighs?
On women, food, chicken.
Do you mean when I'm scissored in a pair?
yes, me too.
Yeah,
we're going that route. Ding, 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 ding.
You two are crazy. All right,
I know, my favorite. Scissored.
Right, so, you know,
thighs.
There's been, we've had, apparently there is a national wing shortage. Chicken wing. I'm talking about wings. Lori doesn't eat meat on bones.
Mm-mm.
But thighs...
Except for one time.
I was
going to
say. Uh-huh.
Wholesale prices are 3 times as high as they were a year ago for chicken wings.
What's happening to all the chickens?
Prices are so expensive, I just think, for food. But the thigh is the unappreciated...
Who wants to eat the thigh?
It's very good meat because it's dark. It's tender.
We're talking about
it comes off the bone easy.
Thighs.
We're talking about chicken
thighs.
I mean, are you a chicken wing guy, Grant?
Yes, love some good chicken wings.
I love chicken wings.
Oh yeah,
I like love them.
Yep.
And my little sister Catherine, she's
I've watched Julia suck on a bone and then try and chew it.
You're such a gross person. You're so gross.
So do you clean them clean or do you
kind of... She's a liar.
There's a technique there. I appreciate
that. She's a liar.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
He's just making a crap to get my goat.
I try to sit on the same side of her when she eats chicken wings.
She's such a liar.
Impossible.
I love chicken wings, though. That is something.
All that vein and skin.
I love it.
Just, I can't.
I love it. But I don't like it when people keep that other part attached to the chicken wing and can't just cut it. You know, when it's the chicken wing and then the right hand turn?
Yes.
Oh. The 90 degree angle?
Yeah.
I like my chicken wings just the wing without the extra curve.
Oh, yeah. A drumette.
Well, like it adds too much. But the thigh
what
people.
What are the drumettes? Those little tiny things that look like little tiny thigh bones. What are those?
What, do I have a big bruise here?
No, but what are those? What is a drumette exactly? Where is it on a chicken?
Well, it's a person in the band that stands in the front.
Dressed as a chicken.
That has whirls of baton.
Well, that's chicken hour.
All right, if you guys want to, thighs are an unappreciated part of the chicken.
Buy
the thighs. Marinate the thighs.
Yeah.
Barbecue. Yeah,
and it's delicious meat, according to everybody.
The thigh people.
The thigh people, yeah. But it's dark meat.
It is.
Yes.
Okay, this is.
Know that.
I like the dark meat on the chicken thigh.
Good clarification.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
I would like all kinds of meat.
I do. Okay. Couples who blame.
All kinds, this all
is,
colors.
I don't know if you have this story, Lori, but this is kind of a silly one. Couples who blame the pandemic for their relationship troubles are much happier. So couples who have been quarantining together, who have been brought closer, the people who say, you know, they've had relationship problems over the past 15 months, but they're happier. That's because they blamed all their problems on the pandemic. It had nothing to do with the other person. It's a scapegoat.
Here's the study of duh on this. That in a relationship, when you have a natural disaster, which I would put a pandemic is a flood, a fire, anything disastrous like that. If you are the type of person who blames the natural disaster on the stresses or the screwiness or the unsatisfying thing of your relationship, the study of duh is that you will be better off than if you're the type of person
to blame the other person.
Blames the other person for a natural disaster, because then that means, I mean, if you're going to blame someone for a natural disaster, they can never win with you.
No.
They can never win with you.
It's not us, it's COVID.
Yeah.
It's not you, it's COVID.
That's a study of duh. You cannot blame your partner for natural disasters. You must try and figure out a way to deal with it and get through it without blaming the other person. Mm-hmm. You're in it as a team.
There you go. And you'd be much happier. Oh, Lori.
Yeah.
Lori, the relationship
just
doctor.
In the natural disaster area.
And she just took off her blue cap.
Quite confidence. Right. And say this with confidence. That makes sense to me.
All right.
Well, things were silly on ABC, and then they were very much the feels on ABC.
Wow.
Was it? Bachelorette getting quite serious.
It really did last night.
It really did. And the celebrity dating game was, I actually enjoyed Carson Kressley and Iggy Azalea, even though that is the dumbest, corniest, cheesiest show. I don't know why I like it.
I watched it too.
Yeah. Michael Bolton, who is described as the host, is the most perfectly wooden, handsome, frozen in time visage.
Sharon Stone's older sister.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's a visage. And he Garson Kressley was just delightful.
You know what? He's just a bundle of joy. He's sparkling champagne.
He always
brings it.
Yeah,
I love him for that.
They should have had him on the first week, but yeah. I'm sure I can hear the suits. So we can't have a gay one the first, you know, yeah. night.
That was really refreshing and fun.
Yeah. Yes,
it was so fun.
It was super fun.
I loved all the innuendos everyone was making.
Oh, yeah. It was just...
It was really fun.
Good. And then I thought Iggy Azalea was quite fun. She looked
she's
so
beautiful.
Great.
Beautiful.
So pretty.
Beautiful.
I was somewhat disappointed in her bachelors.
Very much is what I'm going to just say. Yeah. I was really disappointed, and I thought I'd be bummed if I was her because I didn't feel like hers were the highest quality compared to like what Carson had.
Just in the let's be frank, in the looks department.
Oh, they were
Julia.
They were bad teeth on one. I mean, I'm just you're going to expect some things if you're a
celebrity dating game. Jeez, come on,
but
Michael Bolton, my favorite part of the show is when he does
the singer.
After they do a round of questions, I told my mom to watch the show because she needs something silly. She's really missing Yellowstone.
Oh, because it's supposed to be coming back right now.
It would have come back this week.
Yep. Mm,
now she needs something to fill that void.
Well, yes. I just said, Mom, it is kind of funny if you
just want to be silly.
Yeah, be silly. And so Michael Bolton, after the celebrity, after they go through like two questions to each bachelor or bachelorette, then Michael Bolton sings either one of his songs or a song he covers, and then he changes the words.
To give the contestants clues about who their celebrity is.
So here's a little of Michael Bolton singing a song about Iggy Azalea.
If you wake up and don't want to smile, if it takes just a little while, open your ears while her records play. She wraps things in a different way. Don't stop.
She wraps things in a different way.
Thinking about Australia. Don't stop. That is where she's from. It'll be better than before. She's fancy and blonde.
I thought that was a pretty good.
Yeah.
Like to don't stop. I liked it. And he delivers it. You know,
stone cold. Just he's so serious, and I think he's in on the joke.
And her reactions—you could tell she loved this song.
Is it Zooey Deschanel?
Zooey is the other host.
She is such a perfect nerd.
She is such a very. She's as obvious as I am at reading a cue card.
Well, we.
No.
Yeah, right,
she's an actress, Julia.
She should be better at it.
Should be better at reading.
She's such a dork. I kind of adore her dorkiness.
Yeah. Zooey?
Yeah.
Zooey, that's always been her thing.
She's such a dork.
And if she gets sick, Katy Perry can just step in her shoes because those two are like identical twins.
I love the set. Is it weird? It's just the set of it with the 70s
It's exactly what it used to look like.
It's beautiful.
And the way they end it, you know, leaning over and blowing out a kiss, but we have no idea what date they go on. Therefore, we know they don't go on a date.
Which is just wild.
None of them.
It's so anticlimactic not having that. Just they
I
should,
said that
like
last
you
week.
Said, just make something up.
Yeah.
These two are going to Disneyland, and they're going to go to the new Disney Tower.
Always.
Catalina Island. And the reason why that was so funny back in the day is my mom's sister lived in L.A., our Auntie Catherine, and my mom would go, I remember her going on this one trip with Auntie Catherine, and she looked so hip, and this is in the 70s, my mom, she had like a short pantsuit on, jumpsuit, out of a houndstooth, and I remember her going to Catalina Island with Auntie Catherine.
Taking the ferry.
Yes, yeah. And Lady Grandma Gran, you know, Grandma Lulu, and the two girls.
Don't forget, the last night of Natalie Woods' life was spent
in Catalina
at a bar, at a restaurant, with Robert Wagner and Christopher Walken.
Don't ever ask her about
that, Grant. Rowdy evening.
We've got some themes.
Yeah.
Natalie Wood is just another one.
That was no accident. Grant.
Okay.
Wow.
But we don't have time for that today.
We don't have time for that.
We'll wait till the next story comes up.
Yeah, then I'll sneak it in.
Oh, okay, trust me.
But let's talk about, did you get a chance to watch a little of The Bachelorette?
I was so moved.
It's, same.
It's
the third episode, and we saw, like, I can't imagine any of this happening with Chris Harrison there.
I would admit, in what they talked about, the dates have been so intimate.
Well, we've got a little story from, of course,
and
GMA.
Not sexually intimate, just different.
Well, she had them on the third episode, Nick Vile from Bachelor in Paradise and Bachelor, and he was the Bachelor, and he was on Bachelorette, but he kind of... He wanted the guys to all confess something deeply personal. So here's ABC. Okay. We'll let them give us the lowdown.
And what I'm going to tell you, a lot of people actually don't know, including my own mom.
Bachelorette Katie Thurston sharing a deeply personal story from her past that she's a survivor of sexual assault.
I was involved in a situation where there wasn't consent. And that is not something I wish upon anybody. And I was in denial about what happened. So much so that I tried to form a relationship with him because I didn't want to believe what actually had happened.
Was this the first time you'd ever shared this story of what had happened to you with anyone?
Only two of my really closest friends knew of the story.
She says the traumatic experience 10 years ago affected her emotionally and physically.
I felt responsible for being too drunk, too irresponsible, too stupid. But it's not my fault. Because consent is important, and I did not give it that night.
As hard as it was, I'm ready to turn my negative experience into something greater and into something positive. After sharing this, were you able to remove some of the responsibility and the guilt that you felt?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you see it in that episode, this like emotional relief of just like, it's not my fault, you know, and that was a burden I felt for a very long time as if it was my fault. And I do hope, you know, men and women who have gone through something similar know that it's not their fault as well, because that kind of, you know, relief from that pain is just, it's so great.
Now Thurston embracing all the things that make her who she is today, while hoping to spark a conversation about a difficult topic.
Consent is a simple yes or no. You know, and it doesn't happen when you're under the influence of drugs or alcohol. And I think that's the important thing that people need to realize. And so it's just important to have those conversations. And if you aren't comfortable asking about consent, then you're probably not ready to be having sex to begin with.
Yeah, it was just, right? I feel like there has been a deliberate shift by the producers to
be more real.
To be more real mm-hmm. about having this instead of having a group date. Because, I mean, you had the one guy. So Katie admits to this. And
but the guys admitted everything first.
Yeah, the one guy who admits that he was a drunkenly abusive man to his wife or girlfriend. I can't remember what she said, but he said, I was a drunk and I was abusive. Grant, do you watch a show or no?
The Bachelor?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, not. I haven't watched every season, but probably the last four or five, I've dabbled in here and there.
But I mean, we don't ever really see them getting like this real. And
this
there,
is
there's
real.
Eight of them.
Yeah, you know,
there's
like, a table,
sitting around a circle.
It's
like
a round table event type
in a group,
thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it's like there and the guy who felt he failed as a father
to his kids. A lot of fathers. I was kind of shocked. The guy who's a widow.
Widow, yeah. And even the guy who said, hey, I came on the show, even though people got mad at him because I thought, well, I'll try this. I mean, I thought,
some
well, that's
followers
honest.
And
I thought that was honest.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Katie really saying that because I do think that people get assaulted under the influence.
Yes.
And then they always think it is their fault.
Right. And for her to even say that, I tried to make it be a relationship because I wanted him to like me still after what happened.
She didn't want to believe that he'd raped her or so however he assaulted her. So this way, if they were dating, then that couldn't have happened.
I thought it was really.
I know somebody who married somebody who raped them drunkenly, you know. Married the person. I mean, this does happen.
Right. No,
this
I know.
This is a thing. So I was just so, I couldn't believe it. I was like, this feels very much like a different Bachelor.
I respected the men, too, for really going there.
Yes.
It was a different.
What did your kid say who watches this? Was it too many feels?
The little one?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have cable.
Oh, he doesn't have kids. He's cut the cord. Damn.
He moved out.
There is an app. We should talk later. I don't know. There's an app where you can get all your locals for free, which this is a local ABC program.
Oh.
So you can get this. There is an app, and I'll look it up here.
But
there's an app that gives you all local channels for free. Let me find it here.
Oh my gosh. People need to know this because we're missing your boy's perspective on The Bachelor.
I'm missing him watching it with me. Yeah.
You know, and
because. But I'll be curious. I mean, because I think for young men, you know, watching that and hearing, I feel like it was really.
It was really good. And I also thought, you know, how the guys all, they ganged up on that one guy.
Horrible guy.
And he left the house. Nobody said goodbye. She didn't say goodbye. The people didn't say goodbye to him. I almost kind of felt bad for him.
Yeah. I didn't at all. He put his foot in his mouth, Laurie. He deserved it. He wanted to stir the pot.
Right.
It's called, just so you guys know, it's called Locast. Locast. And you can view any of your local networks that are tied to the certain cities that they're in. There are most cities in America, but it's called Download Locast. And it'll give you all of your local channels. And you can then watch it on your streaming TV.
All right.
Locast.
Wow.
Don't say you didn't learn anything here today.
Grant, that was for free, too.
I got that for free.
Okay. Let's talk about this actress who's pleading with a prime minister on Instagram about what?
So, what are you trying to say?
Hollywood speaking.
What is the meaning of this?
Well, some things in our pandemic world, like patios and Disneyland, are opening up again, but the U.S.-Canadian border is not.
No,
it remains closed until July 21st.
Wow, and, I'm surprised it's taking so long.
Oh, they're really locked down in Canada still.
Yeah. Are they just behind in the vaccines or what?
Well, it's a spread out country. I don't know if they didn't have as much money to buy all the vaccines. I have no idea, but Vera Farmiga, who, of course, is... starring in yet the third episode of the very successful horror franchise, The Conjuring.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Yeah.
I like those because they're based on a true story. Yes. You know, true life couple.
They give
like
you
them.
That freak. Yeah. Yeah. It makes you, when you, that true life part of it is what really gives it that extra, like,
And is it Patrick Wilson is her co-star in it?
Yes, yeah. I believe it is. Yes.
Anyway, so The Conjuring has kind of that unseated Quiet Place 2 at the box office.
It did. Okay.
So Vera is a U.S. citizen and she's in Toronto where she was filming a project and she has been stuck in Canada for going on 8 weeks. And according to Vera, she's so desperate to leave, she keeps Instagramming and copying Justin Trudeau.
What about all the people that are in Vancouver doing all the filming?
They have to stay there. And like Mark Consuelos, that's why Kelly Ripa has gone like 3 or 4 months without seeing Mark. It has to do with...
They have to quarantine when they get there, then they have to quarantine. Why can't she... Oh, I would go crazy.
I don't know, but she's got a fully vaccinated work permit, and she keeps tweeting him, Instagramming him. Dear Justin Trudeau, happy Father's Day. I'd like to be home celebrating with my family this weekend. It's just a car ride across the border.
Jeez.
I'm fully vaxxed for months now, and I've got a permit, but I'm trapped in Toronto because of the current 14-day quarantine, which is a flagrant lie in the face of science.
Wow.
Please lift quarantine restricted for the fully vaxxed and essential work permitted workers. Again, happy Father's Day. And then she copies all kinds of people in Congress and blah, blah, blah. That does seem to be fakakta.
Here, I just Googled, why won't Canada open its borders? It won't.
Are you going to Canadian speak this?
I'm going to Canadian speak it that. Canadian Canada's friend, cousin, is set to loosen pandemic travel restrictions for fully vaccinated Canadians this week. They are saying that the government aims to reach a vaccination rate of 75% before fully reopening the borders between Canada and the U.S. for non-essential travel.
Which moved it from July 5th to July 21st. So anyway, I say Justin Trudeau, you're going to continue to get Instas from Vera.
And I'm sure other people, too.
Yeah, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder. And, yeah, she's been Instagramming them. She did one the week before of her daughter watering a garden. Hello, because she's not there to water it with her.
So why did she go there for work or something allowed to leave?
That's right.
But she's allowed to leave, but she has to do the quarantine. 2 weeks or something?
She's not allowed to leave.
Oh, my gosh. I would go crazy.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Let's Hollywood speak. This one, Brandy Glanville crowned the most foul-mouthed reality star on Twitter.
100%.
Do you think?
And on TV.
And on TV.
And on Watch What Happens Live. She Who? Can go down in history.
Brandy Glanville.
Oh, yeah.
Is saying the most foul thing ever on Watch What Happens Live.
Well, according to Mr. Q, which is a gaming service, okay, they do a thing where they count the number of swear words that big name personalities used, like in the last 6 months.
On social media.
Not even the last 6 months, in the last 3,000 messages sent.
Okay.
And Brandy typed out an impressive 946 curse words in 3,000 Twitter messages. Coming in second place is Kevin Hart.
Yeah, he likes
who had 954
too.
Curses.
Wow. Which
is funny. Isn't his comedy pretty clean, or am I wrong on that?
No, he swears a lot in his he's kind of bleeped up with everything right now. He goes, I'm bleeping sick and of the cancel calls culture. Cent. I'm bleeping sick of this.
Yes, I've heard that. Yeah. I just didn't know if he did that in his routine a lot. His comedy 50 routine.
50 Cent is number three. And then it's Seth Rogen. And then Charlie XCX. And then Cardi B.
All right.
So we never swear. In fact, I'm so polite on our Twitter that if I want to use a swear word, I do the F. With a star, or the S with the star.
No,
star,
we don't
star.
Swear ever on social media.
Yeah, but sometimes
you swear on the radio.
On the radio, but
which is way worse.
And
but you know,
yes. Mr. Q also counts "damn" as a curse word for this Twitter purpose.
Okay,
even though I don't count "damn" as a curse word.
No,
I think it's a curse word if you add
"god." Mm-hmm. I would agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Anyway, so yeah, okay, so there you go. Here's another one. Chrissy Teigen brushed off the rumor that she's doing an interview with Oprah Winfrey.
Well, I find this so interesting. Oprah has never invited her to do this interview, but everyone talks about being a part of this interview that no one's ever initiated to happen.
That's right. Yeah. And how in the world is Chrissy going to invite Courtney Stodden when she doesn't even have Courtney Stodden information at her fingertips so she can personally apologize?
Yeah, I think Chrissy Teigen just goes away for a while.
Stay quiet. Her career has been in a less than ideal place. And when she got dropped by Kris Jenner's Safely.
I almost died.
Only just the other day.
I thought that was a big dump.
Yeah, well, Macy's, Target, and Bloomingdale's.
I get those. Okay. I get those. But I think they're friends.
Oh, they are.
So it would be like you dropping me.
Chris is not going to get in the way of business.
I know.
Right? Smart move on her end. She knows. She's a smart businesswoman for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, when she got to her office on Monday, photographers asked her about the interview, but she didn't exactly deny it. She said she doesn't know if that's happening, or at least that's how she made it seem. Like it's even a possibility.
Can you imagine what Oprah's thinking
I think we should just start talking about when we are sitting down with Oprah.
Right?
And then get it out there.
She has said to Gayle.
Plant a seed. Right.
I don't know how I've gotten involved in this nonsense. know that she and
John
Gayle.
John Legend is your friend.
Yeah. You got to, you know, don't give them my number. Don't say anything, you know, blah, blah, blah.
This one doesn't interest me.
No, it really doesn't. So
the train wreck that it is does interest me. I'm not going to lie, because it's this kind of stuff. This like blowing up your own ego with, Oprah wants to talk to me. No, she doesn't care about you.
I think that is kind of fun, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
When you're in trouble, Oprah and I are going to sit down and we're going to hash this whole thing out.
And I want Oprah to look at Chrissy and say, when it comes to the direct messages, were you a threat or were you threatening? Remember when she asked that old thing, and then Chrissy can practice her like, no, she just needs to
she needs to take a break.
It should have never issued that last apology, but her thought bubble about being the most punished person in the world got, hi guys it was just not necessary.
When someone starts out, if I offended you as an apology, that's not an apology.
Right. Well, here's the thing with, I think, people like Chrissy Teigen, that 1 in 5 people would need to be paid at least $1 million to give up social media. I mean, there's such a social media addiction that I think she's in that group, that this is everything.
Well, she's quit it and then she's come back. And
more times than anyone we know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know who.
Too bad she didn't quit it when Bindi she was
Irwin.
Busy
right.
Building her building followers. The
Bindi Irwin just quit everything. You know that?
Yeah.
Steve Irwin started because she said it's just too hard. But I mean, everyone quits, comes back, quits, come back, quit, come back. We haven't quit. We haven't come back.
No.
But we could use more followers.
Yeah, there you go.
At Lori Julia. We'll be right back.